Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, unto this your word, to give us greater knowledge and understanding of the truth of it, Father, so that the things that we learn are really from you, Father, and not from man. Now, Father, be with us throughout the study, and I ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 12th chapter of Matthew. We've come this far through Matthew since we started back. We've been through the Gospels once. But now, starting back, we're going to be going all the way through the New Testament again. Because, you see, it doesn't matter how many times you read and study things, there's always something else there for you that God can give to you as you do what He asks of you to do. We are told to study His Word daily. And that's why God had me set up this study as I've set it up. This is not mine, my setup. This is His. Now, we're going to get into this now. In verse 1, this 12th chapter is quite lengthy. We may get through it and we may not get all the way through it. You see, there's 50 verses to this chapter. Now, and a whole lot to see and to understand. Here in verse 1, it says, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Now here in verse 3, Jesus has answered to them. Says, But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was a hungered, and they that were with him, for how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for them to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? 5. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. But you see, as we've seen so far, because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and them still wanting nothing but the Mosaic law to run their lives by, any and everything he does to them is wrong. They're always looking for an excuse where they can get rid of him, really. They really want him dead and gone. Now, but you know, when we take a look at what we just read here, the Sabbath day, actually it's the seventh day of the week, corresponding to our Saturdays. Now, but you know, however, it begins at sunset on Friday. Think about this now. The Sabbath day begins at sunset Friday evening, and it lasts until the following sunset, which is the next day, which would be the end of Saturday. Now, and you know, the Pharisees themselves had burdened the Sabbath with a multitude of different detailed observations that were not actually laid down in the Mosaic law. That's things they had added to it. It wasn't in the Mosaic law, that they had added to it, because they had went with a lot of legalistic traditions. But you know, Jesus referred to the scripture, and as we read there, that's exactly what he was doing, was referring to the scriptures there by him asking them. He says, Have you not read? And this passage that he's talking about, and he's referring to, is in 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through 6, where he's talking about David and those with him that was eating the priest's showbread, which was actually something they wasn't supposed to do because of the situation and things. It was accepted. as something that was needed to be. Now, you know, that showbread that he's talking about here, loaves were placed on the table in the holy place in the tabernacle each Sabbath. They were to be eaten only by the priest and his family. That was their way of feeding the priest and his family. And the priest then prepared the sacrifice on the Sabbath in spite of the general prohibition of work. Now, they wasn't supposed to do work on the Sabbath. But you see, in order for him to make his sacrifices and things, they were things that had to be done. Now, and because of that and the necessities of their worship, it permitted the priests to go ahead and do these things on the Sabbath in preparing. And you know, as we go on, there was all the more reason why actually the service of Christ would allow a similar liberty for him. Because number one, he is also Lord of the Sabbath day. And it doesn't say you can't do good and you can't do actually what is absolutely necessary. They wasn't supposed to go out and do to do field work, stuff that way, that kind of work. They wasn't even supposed to work their animals. But, you see, we'll be dealing with that more as we go on through even this chapter here that we're in. Now, we go to verse 9 now. We know that the Lord, we're told there in verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And that's why you and I today, we don't go by their situation of the law. That's all been fulfilled. We are to serve every day, just as if it was, but it's the Sabbath. We are to serve the Lord God every day, all day, in all the things we do. That's why we're told not to worry about the things of this world. And you know, we read that several times. Now, because when we go to wanting and all the things of this world, we leave the most precious thing behind us, and that is the Lord our God. Now, find here, in 9, says, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. In other words, it was all swiveled up. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? You see? Anything they can do to accuse him. But, you see, God knows everything. He knows every thought. Every thought that you will think through the day. God knows about it. Let me tell you something. I can tell you assuredly that he does. The way he has taken and done with my life, I know beyond any doubt. Now, here they's wanting to accuse him. And actually, they'd want to even ask him the question, but they want him to just say yes, you know, so they could accuse him. But here's his answer. In the 11 here, it says, and he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will they not lay hold on it and lift it out? You see his question? You will leave that sheep in that pit? No, he knows they're not. 12. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. It's all right to do the good things on the Sabbath day. Even then, 13. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth. And it was restored whole, like as the other. It was made completely whole. 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him. They're out there among themselves, holding a meeting against Jesus and how they might destroy him. You see, that's what they're wanting. They're wanting to destroy him. Satan is using them, trying everything he can to get rid of him. Because Jesus and his ministry as he is walking on this earth, he is taking a lot of mankind away from Satan. And he's setting up and getting things ready for you and I to be able even to take more away from Satan. And Satan knows this. You know, Satan actually had been an angel. The most beautiful angel in heaven. Think about this. Until he got to the point he wanted to raise himself above the Lord God. That brought all the trouble. Now, 15. But when Jesus knew it, see, he knew what they were doing. He withdrew himself from thence, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. Now, it don't tell us how many was in this multitude, but it said a great multitude. In other words, there was quite a few. 16. And charged them that they should not make him known. But he knew they would. 17, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive for cry. He shall not strive nor cry. Neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. That is all being spoken about the Lord Jesus Christ, given us, actually, the way he grew, was to grow up, how he was to be. You see, way back, Isaiah was prophesying that, just as he prophesied other things about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was to be born. Even his lot about his life and how he was to die. You find that in Isaiah chapter 53. You know, here, 18 through 21 there, is Isaiah. Prophecy. Picking up now with verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. Now this man, demon possessed, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? Now, this son of David they're talking about is Jesus. Said, Is not this the son of David? Nobody did come from the lineage and the line of David. 24. And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now they're saying he's casting out devils by the devil. Jesus, knowing about it, knew their thoughts. Here in 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. 26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? The first thing, Satan don't want that demon or that devil cast out. He sent him there to get that person, because he comes to see who he can kill and destroy. He knows where he's going. When the time comes for the great white throne judgment, Satan knows where he's headed. But he don't want to go by himself and just his demon army. He wants to take everyone away from the Lord God he can take. And right now, throughout the world, he's doing a pretty good job. That's why we are told in the scripture that the labor is few. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ready to be gathered in, but the labors are few. You say, well, no, they're not that few. Lord, there's churches all around us. Yes. But most of the churches today are not teaching the truth of God's word. That's a shame to have to say it, but it is the truth. They are teaching. You say, well, I sit there and I hear them talk about Jesus and all this, and they talk about heaven, yeah. But then they teach you to live contrary to the way the word of God tells you to live. They'll even tell you that a lot of the ways that the Bible is telling you and I to live, they tell you you can't live that way, that no one can. That there is no one that can do it. They're actually calling God a liar. They tell you that you can't live your life without sin. They tell you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all heard that. And we all have. But you see, they wasn't getting the truth of that because they wanted to take that out of context to prove what they wanted it to say. Not what it said, but what they wanted it to say. See, they're using that. You see, this is telling you, everyone sins. No. That statement said that we all have sinned. We all have sinned. Past tense. And we all did. Because, you see, we were born with that sin nature. And we walk committing things we shouldn't be doing until we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what it's all about, that saving knowledge of Jesus. Because, you see, there's no other way to heaven. He's the only way. And God's word tells us that. We've read it, in fact, already. Now, we'll be reading it some more. But, you see, they don't stop and think, actually, about the right way and what the word has really told them. Because, you know, if you think you can go ahead and commit all these sins and make heaven your home, go to 1 John chapter 3, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and telling him that no one can enter into the kingdom of God without being born again. Well, you know, when I'm baptized, I'm born again. Not necessarily. In fact, I only seen all of that happened at one time in all the years I've been in my ministry. We can't say it won't, can't happen to you, but it's not likely. Because you see, God will not give you something that you're not going to use or that you don't know how to use yet. He guides you in all your ways. He's talking about all of this sinning. And these churches that are teaching you that you can't live without sin. I told you, you can go and see that you have to be born again. And then you can go to 1 John chapter 3, and it tells you what being born again is actually all about. And what happens to you when you are. Do you ever really think about that? You know, the New Testament is full of what you and I have to, and how we have to live. That's what it's about. Actually, in 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And here in verse 9, whosoever is born of God, he told you you had to be reborn. Now, when you are born of God, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God. Now, you still want to think you can go out here and live just any old way you want to live and make heaven your home? No. And let me tell you something else. You see, there's a time coming when there'll be the great white throne judgment. And all that have lived in sin and come and not made heaven their home and hell and all that's in it, Satan and all his little demons, and everyone that has not made heaven their home, and hell itself will be cast into a lake of fire that will burn forever. And never no way out. If you ever burnt yourself just in one little place and the pain that you got at that time, think about being thrown into a lake of fire, the pain you're going to feel. And you can't die. You'll never be able to die. You're going to be living with that pain throughout eternity. Is that what you want? Not what I want. I want to be with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the way to do it is by following this, his word. Now, he was talking about him casting them out, the devils out by the prince of the devil. And We found out that Jesus knew their thoughts, and he tells us that, you know, things that's divided cannot stand. And he goes on here in 27, and he says, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. And we know that he brought the kingdom of God with him when he was born into this life. Now, and he was here for the purpose of fulfilling the law, the Mosaic law, and establishing this church age that we are now living in here under the New Testament. And this New Testament is by his blood that he shed for you and I. 29. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? You see, he's letting them know, and he's making it pretty plain. You can't go and break into a man's house and do anything in that house without being able to first bind that man to where he can't get in your way. Now, 30. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. We can't live with one foot in this world and the other foot in his world. There's no fence for me and you to ride. No. There's only the two ways. We're either going to live for him, making him first in our life. And when I say first, I mean first. First before anything else or anyone else. He is first. Ladies, he's first before your husband. Husband, he's first before your wife. Children, he's first in your life before your mother and dad. You're to obey your mother and dad, yes. And you're to love them. But he is first. And if you put him first, everything else will fall in line. It'll take a little while because you have to grow in knowledge and all. But so do the older people. It's the older ones right now that has been failing because they have not been teaching the younger. They sit back and did not teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't take them to church and to see that our churches stayed teaching the Word of God. You say, Pastor, you don't know all that. Let me tell you something. I have been around long enough. I have watched the fall of our churches. Come the ninth day of September, I'll be 90 years old. Yes, I have seen what has happened to our churches. Right here in the county where I live, in the little community that I lived until I was 6 years old. We only had three churches. The Catholic Church, Methodist Church. Well, the community where I live, we only had the two. We didn't have Baptist Church, which is what my family grew up in, was the Baptist Church. But at that time and where we lived, so we all went to the Methodist Church. It didn't matter because at that time, all your churches were teaching the same thing. They were teaching this word of God. And they were all baptizing the same way. They were all baptizing in Jesus' name, which is what we are supposed to be doing. But today, most are not doing it that way. You see, that was one of the first things when Satan sneaked into a lot of our churches, one of the first things he changed. He took them back to John's baptism. The book of Acts will tell you about the difference. When you read it, you'll find that after the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit was sent back to be with mankind, that was the beginning of the church age. And things changed. When Peter came out of that upper room that day, preached one of the strongest sermons recorded. And when he finished, they asked him, those that was listening, asked him, what must we do? And he gave them the plan of salvation. Repent. Go to Jesus and repent. And be baptized. Everyone in Jesus' name. There's a reason for that. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, there's repentance, there's being baptized, and then there's being filled with the Holy Spirit. Before you become that born-again child of the living God. The Lord don't play games. Now, I'm going to try to make it down here through verse 32. We're going to stop there for the morning. And God willing, we can pick up there for this evening. He told us there in 30, he said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. That's one sin you cannot be forgiven for, is to sin against the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. To blaspheme. That word blaspheme, look it up in the dictionary. And it'll tell you the meaning of it. It means to cursing, to deny his existence, or to reject him. Now, 32, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And most of your churches today, you hear very little about the Holy Spirit at all. And they don't teach you anything about being born again, for the most part. Now, we're going to stop there, as I said. Get ready here and close out. I appreciate everybody that has joined with me this morning and that will download this and listen to it later. May it really help you in your life, because that's what it's all about. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. We praise you. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray now for the saints wherever they are in the world. And we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them in health, keep them safe, and see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. We know that as of this time, they're having very little of peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, a land that has gotten so evil that it turned its back on the Lord Jesus Christ and on you, Father, after everything you have done for this country. Now, Father, we pray and we're asking that they will be your children praying everywhere for the evil ones in our government to be replaced, taken out of office and replaced with those that are your children, that are walking in righteousness, that love you, love the church, love Jesus, and love this country, and work with us to bring this land to repentance, Father, and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. For those with us, those that are actually, Father, a part of this ministry. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, and Father, Ramilly, Bobby Johnson, myself, and all of our families, because we all have family members that are walking in darkness, that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've never went to Him. We're asking the Holy Spirit to work with them and to help us to lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too, Father, can make heaven their home and not be lost. And to keep them out of that lake of fire, Father. Now, Father, as we prepare to separate this morning for the day, use us this day, Father, to speak to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the gospel with them, that we spend more time with you through this day. And listen to you. Be our guide, letting us know what you want of us, and giving us the authority and the power to get it done. And Father, we know that you have sent the power we need, everything we need to do the work you ask of us. It's brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Father, use us now in great and mighty ways. Yes, Father, it's my prayer. Bring us back together this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. and back into your word. Now, Father, I make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great day. And remember, Jesus loves you. And so do I. Bye-bye now.